Well, thank you for the introduction. My name is Alexandra Knight. I'm a graduate student at North Carolina State University. I'm going to be talking to you all today about some work we've been doing on nitrous oxide emissions in long-term cropping systems. So first, let's talk a little bit about the importance of nitrous oxide and why we're concerned about it. Nitrous oxide is produced biologically in soils during denitrification, nitrification, and nitrifier denitrification. The atmospheric concentration of nitrous oxide is increasing at a rate of approximately 0.25% annually. Not only is nitrous oxide a greenhouse gas, but it has also shown evidence of contributing to ozone depletion. So why specifically are we concerned about this in agriculture? Well, agriculture is the primary land use worldwide and accounts globally for approximately 14% of total annual greenhouse gas emissions. Of this 14%, 60% are nitrous oxide. As we all know, working in agriculture, it requires high nutrient inputs for productivity. Roughly one-third of nitrogen applied to a cropping system is lost, either due to nitrate leaching, ammonia volatilization, or gas emissions, including nitric oxide, nitrous oxide, or nitrogen gas. Globally, the source strength of nitrous oxide is roughly 18 teragrams of nitrous oxide nitrogen loss per year. Roughly 6 teragrams of this is contributed by agriculture. Research has also shown that nitrous oxide emissions increase after nitrogen application and with increasing soil water content. This is going to be greatest with soils of a water-filled pore space of 60% or greater. A reduction of approximately 0.4 of a teragram of nitrous oxide nitrogen has been shown annually through better fertilizer management practices and by approximately 0.2 of a teragram of nitrous oxide nitrogen through better cultivation and irrigation practices. Here we have a depiction of the nitrogen cycle. There are a lot of factors in cropping systems contributing to the nitrogen cycle, but when we're looking at nitrous oxide emissions, our biggest concern is here at denitrification and those bacteria and fungi contributing to it. For this study, we had two overall objectives. We wanted to first assess which agricultural system investigated was ideal for minimizing nitrous oxide emissions. We also wanted to capture peak times for nitrous oxide emissions to better convey to farmers how to mitigate these. In this project, we have an overall arching hypothesis that there would be a difference between organic and conventional systems. In organic systems, you have a steady organic source, a large microbial pool, small inorganic pools, and overall less fluctuation over time. However, in conventional systems, we've noted that there are pulse chemical inputs with those synthetic fertilizers we're applying. There's a smaller microbial pool, large inorganic nitrogen pools, and overall greater fluctuation. For these reasons, we predicted that those systems with greater inorganic nitrogen pools would have greater nitrous oxide emissions. Moving on to our experimental design. This research was conducted at the Cherry Research Farm in Goldsboro, North Carolina, at the Center for Environmental Farming Systems, and our long-term research plots. So these systems have been in place for about 15 years, so the soil microbial community is very well developed in each of those systems. We blocked according to soil type in our randomized complete block design, and as you can see on the right, those are our soil types in our long-term systems, so we made sure to account for all those different types. We had a total of 6 production systems. For each conventional, we had an organic equivalent, the first being a 3-year hay, 3-year cash crop rotation. The second was a no-till and conventional, minimal tillage in the organic equivalent, and the final was a full tillage system. To break down these systems for you a little more, one of the main differences is obviously going to be our nitrogen fertilizers. In conventional systems, we're using a synthetic urea fertilizer. In our organic systems, we have a combination of poultry litter and leguminous cover crops. Now, we did take year-round data for nitrous oxide emissions. However, I'm just going to be focusing on our summer data today. So in 2013, that was in a corn crop. In 2014, it was soybean, and it was back in a corn crop in 2015. I also want to point out that with the differences in some of the rotations, we made sure all of our systems were in the same crop so that we would not see differences based on crop in our nitrous oxide emissions. So we had eight row plots, and took gas measurements between rows 6 and 7 to avoid an edge effect. On the right-hand side there, you'll see our static chamber design. We had a total of 2 chambers per plot. Once this lid is placed on the chamber, there is a water seal to prevent additional gases from exiting or entering the system while we are taking gas samples. These gas samples were taken following a 1.25 centimeter or greater of rainfall, and samples were taken at time intervals of 0, 10, 20, and 30 minutes to capture nitrous oxide emissions over time. This was done between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. to capture the average daily temperature. And we took a total of 5 milliliters of gas and used gas chromatography to look at methane, carbon dioxide, and nitrous oxide. Today, I'm just going to be focusing on that nitrous oxide data, though. Statistics were conducted using PROCMIX and SAS 9.3. Moving on to our results, let me first set up this graph for you. On the y-axis, we have nitrous oxide in milligrams of nitrogen per meter squared per day. On the x-axis, we have date. The different systems are designated with different colors, the organic being in shades of gray and the conventional being in shades of red. Today, I am not going to focus on the differences between systems, but the overall pattern and trend that we're seeing. Now, in 2013, we had a corn crop. As you all know, we're applying nitrogen fertilizer there. Let me see if I can use this thing. So here, this peak here is correlating with both tillage events as well as nitrogen fertilizer application. The peak we're seeing down here is correlating with the dieback of corn at the end of the season and nitrogen being released back into the system. Now, one question some of you may have is the magnitude of these peaks, and these do seem very high. We did have a very wet year in 2013. We were also still working to some extent perfect our chamber method as well as our standards on our GC. So while the magnitude may be a little off, the general pattern is the same. In 2014, we had a soybean crop. Again, we're not going to see the nitrogen fertilizer here. However, we do see the tillage pattern still present. In 2015, we again had a corn crop. You'll notice the magnitude is less here. However, we did have a very dry summer in North Carolina, except for this one peak event that we're capturing in May. You'll probably also note that the organic reduced till seems to be emitting the most. In some previous studies, they have noted that tillage can have a varying impact based on your environmental conditions. This particular system did have cover crops, so it could be retaining a little more moisture. So moving on to our discussion, previous studies have shown that deep tillage favors both residue decomposition and mineralization, which are both going to promote nitrous oxide emissions. Highest flux has been noted in many studies in tilled systems, as these are expected to promote the highest level of denitrification. However, as I mentioned before, this does vary with environmental conditions, so with temperature, moisture, etc. Emissions from soil have also previously shown to increase after nitrogen application or crop residue incorporation. Additionally, some other studies have shown differences between synthetic and organic fertilizers, with synthetic fertilizers increasing nitrous oxide emissions. So what are the overall conclusions and take-home messages that we have for you today? Well, 2013 and 2015 had overall greater emissions than 2014. We expect this with those being a corn crop and we're applying these high amounts of nitrogen. Tilled systems generally showed higher emissions early in the season. However, we did note some variability based on our environmental differences. Our biggest message that I would like you to leave here with, though, is that each system appears to have dates with greatest emissions. However, there's not one system that consistently has the greatest nitrous oxide emissions. For some of our future research, we're going to continue investigating moisture's impact on these emissions. We're also going to be focusing on those key periods, so during tillage, during nitrogen application, and also during corn dieback there at the end of the season. And we're also looking into the impact of soil carbon in these different systems on nitrous oxide emissions. With that, I want to thank everyone who made this research possible and acknowledge the grant that has funded this research. And I'll take any questions if we have time.
Thank you very much for saving the schedule. We are now scheduled now. Questions? Yeah, go ahead.
What was the sampling frequency?
So his question was, what was the sampling frequency? We sampled after rainfall events. We based this on moisture. So after half an inch or 1.25 centimeters of rainfall, we were out there 24 to 48 hours following that rainfall event. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you have the perfect data set for using your model. Are you planning to do so?
We are working intensively. Dr. Robars, who's actually here, he has been working on a continuous monitoring system, so we're going to use that for some interpolation between our sampling events.
And I have a question.
Okay.
I know environmentalists always use a milligram nitrogen per square meter to express the impact of things, but agronomists always like to use a pound per acre or kilos per hectare. So what's the overall seasonal total of your the N2O emission in kilo per hectare or pounds per acre?
So he wants to know a quantified amount over the season. currently, we are working to interpolate that. This method, that how I presented it here today, I'll just go back to those, is just, as my advisor likes to refer to it, as the connect the dots method. And and based on the continuous data that Dr. Robars is seeing, there's actually going to be a better method to look at that, because this seems to be overestimating. So I'm not comfortable giving you a number, but at this point, but we will have, when we publish this, we will have a better estimate of that.
Okay, thank you very much.